number 31.
Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10, 11 through 14. Hebrews chapter 10, 11 through 14. And every priest indeed standeth day by day, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, the which can never take away sins. But he, when he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, henceforth expecting till his enemies be made the footstool of his feet. For by one offering he had perfected forever them that are sanctified.
Good morning, everybody. Visitors, we're glad to have you. I see a few visitors here this morning. It's good to have all of you and members alike. We're so thankful you're here. We know that many are traveling. We pray for your safe travels, and we pray that you would come and see us every chance that you get. So thank you so much for being here this morning, everyone. And we're just so happy and delighted to see your smiling faces. So please, please come and visit us once again if you get the chance, and when you get the chance. Now, this idea that we just read here from Hebrews 10, 11 through 14, we get an idea from the religious world and from, you often hear it preached by other preachers in the Church of Christ and other denominations as well, but preachers in the Church of Christ might say as well that here in Hebrews 10, 11 through 14, the idea of rolling the sins forward each year is presented. Well, what does that mean? What does it mean to roll the sins forward each year? Well, this idea is really presented here in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews has many, many different amazing topics that we can look at, really universal topics, really dispensations of time topics that we can get into. And I thought this one really neat and interesting to get into this morning, to talk about what can truly take away sins. And of course, we know that as Christians, to only be our Savior Christ, to only be Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. He's the only one that can take away sins, because it's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins, if you read back in verses 1 through 4 of our chapter here. But Jesus is the only one who can take away our sins, really, fully. So, of course, those times in the Old Testament, as we'll talk about, whenever it would say, you're forgiven of your sins, Israel, whenever God would talk to, of course, the prophets, and the prophets would prophesy to the people, tell them to repent of their sins. Well, if they weren't actually fully forgiven of their sins, then how would they be able to be forgiven of their sins eventually? Well, that would take Jesus. That's why all mankind needed Jesus in order to be saved. Every man, every woman, through every dispensation of time, from Abraham to Adam, all the way to, you know, anybody in Jesus' time, maybe like Paul, maybe like Peter, any of the other apostles you've heard about. But only Jesus could take away sins completely through all and for all time with His perfect sacrifice. So we need to understand that before we get into this text. That's really what it's saying here. When somebody says, really in Hebrews chapter 10, this idea of rolling the sins forward is presented, what the priest would do, let's go back to verse 11 here, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 11. It says, "And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins." You understand what it just said there? That's referencing back in the Old Testament when priests would make sacrifice after sacrifice, trespass offering, sin offering, all these different types of offerings, all these different types of sacrifices. Priests would make that. They'd make atonement for the people year after year. They'd make atonement for themselves. Yet, that could never take away sins, really. So, what does this mean? If God said He forgave them of their sins back then, what could that mean? Well, we have to understand that whenever God would say that He was forgiving them of their sins, who was that speaking of? The promise. Speaking of the promise of Christ, of course. Here in Hebrews, it's fulfilled that Jesus would ultimately be the one to take away all sins for all time, of course, from obeyers of God. Now, let's get into this and talk about this quite a bit. Let's analyze this text. Here in verse 11, that first section that we talked about, and every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices. So every priest, if you read those words there, every priest, obviously indicates there were many priests throughout the old law that offered sacrifices over and over again to make atonement for the people. Yet, these many priests, all these different people from different backgrounds who were priests, they couldn't do enough. They couldn't ever really take away sins fully. It still required the Messiah. Ministering, if you read that word there in that same verse, every priest stands ministering, means performing a service or a work, obviously. Offering, if you read that word there in that same verse, indicates specifically that which was brought to God. So they're bringing sacrifices, they're bringing all these things to make atonement for their sins, but ultimately, it was not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins, as we see back in verse 4. Now, before we go back in that verse, let's say a few more things. Now, keep in mind, this still was the will of God in the old law and patriarchal law for them to do this. So, in that time, in that dispensation of time, in that Testament age, they were supposed to do these things. They were supposed to sacrifice in these ways. Yet, although they were supposed to do that, it wasn't possible that those sins could really be fully taken away. It still required Jesus. Now, does that mean everybody was lost before Jesus? No, it doesn't. Those people, of course, as they followed God's law in their time, in the patriarchal law, you know, back with Abraham, back with Adam, as they followed God's law with Moses, with Joshua, with all the Israelites, and with all the Judeans, as they followed God's law in their times, they would, of course, receive that promise of Christ whenever Christ would come. That's why they prayed for the Messiah. That's why they prayed that the Messiah would come, the Redeemer, the great Redeemer that would take away their sins. That's why they prayed for Him. Because they realized that Jesus was the one who was going to purify, of course, completely everybody of their sins for all time. Of course, those who only would obey God and obey Christ. So what can truly take away sins? Not man, not an idea of man nor a philosophy of man, but God. Jesus can take away sins. Of course, Jesus being God. So these offerings and sacrifices, as we just read in verse 11, can never take away sins. There's emphasis there on that word never. Can never take away sins. The things of the Old Testament, the things of the patriarchal law, the sacrifices, can never take away sins. So you say, well, is it pointless? No, it's not pointless. They were doing what they were supposed to do, but it's, of course, within mindfulness that there would be a promise of the Christ who would redeem them, of course, for all time with His perfect sacrifice. Now, Hebrews chapter 10, let's read that together. Hebrews 10, verses 1 through 4. Hebrews 10, 1 through 4. For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices, which they continually, year by year, make those who approach perfect. Verse 2. For then, would they not have ceased to be offered? For the worshippers, once purified, would have had no more consciousness of sins. Verse 3, but in those sacrifices there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. So once again, we have that question. Well, wait a minute, God. Wait a minute. You said you forgave the people of their sins back in the Old Testament. So what does that mean? What that meant, of course, we even remember, like Jesus referenced Abraham in Luke chapter 16. Where was he at? He was in paradise. So if Abraham was in paradise, of course, and Jesus hadn't even died yet, well, how does that work? How does that work? Well, of course, it was speaking of the promise. Those people would still, of course, go to paradise from the Old Testament if they obeyed God and did His will in their dispensation of time, in their testament at the time. Of course, they would receive their reward. However, they still would have that promise coming. So the full cleansing of their sins, of course, would happen with Jesus. That's really what Hebrews 10 is emphasizing here. There's no other way you can take it. If it's saying that the blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sins, yet that's what was required in the Old Testament. You understand what I'm saying here? You understand what the Bible is saying? So Jesus was necessary. Jesus' sacrifice was absolutely necessary for everyone of all times' salvation. That really shows how important Jesus was. That's why He was planned before the foundation of the world, as epistles like Ephesians say. That's why He was always planned. Now let's read in verses 5 through 7. 5 through 7. This truth was even in prophecy, like from Psalms of David. So that's really where this is coming from. We'll mention that in a moment. But verses 5 through 7, let's read it together. Therefore, when He came into the world, He said, Sacrifice an offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. Verse 6. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do your will, O God. Now let's go back to Psalm 40. Psalm 40, that's where our reference is at. This is one of those Old Testament prophecies fulfilled in the New Testament. So if you want to write this down, I do suggest you do so. Lots and lots and lots of these. 5 through 7 of Hebrews 10 is in Psalms 40, 6 through 8. Psalms 40, 6 through 8. So we'll read that real quick. Sacrifice and offering, verse 6 of Psalm 40. You did not desire. My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me, I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. So, to make the point, of course, from the Psalms of David, of prophets and a king, David even understood that the Messiah was, of course, the one who would bring the promise, who would bring the redemption, the full redemption, of course, as David would be sitting in paradise. Even David understood that Jesus was his Lord, as Jesus would make mention in the gospel accounts. And even David understood that that full redemption would come with Jesus' sacrifice for all time. So prophecies, multiple prophecies about Jesus, of course, being the Redeemer. Books like Isaiah, books like Jeremiah. But of course, those bulls and goats, they could never take away the sins. So we can look at prophecies like David's here. Of course, that is the Psalm of David as you read in the caption of that Psalm 40. But let's understand Isaiah 43 and verse 25. Let's head there real quick. Isaiah 43 and verse 25. We'll read another one in Isaiah, so it's might as well just head there. Isaiah 43 verse 25. When the Old Testament, once again, whenever it says the sins of the people were forgiven, it's speaking of the promise. It's speaking of the promise of who? Of the promise of Christ. Of the promise of the one who would come and fulfill the Scriptures, and fulfill that promise that was even made to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, that all the nations would be blessed through their seed. Now, Isaiah 43 and verse 25. I am He who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. So once again, as God says this, well, how does that correlate to Hebrews? How does that make sense with the book of Hebrews? How can that make sense at all? Of course, at first glance, you might think, well, there's a contradiction here. And that's what, you know, people out in the world, people who don't believe in God, they'll say, well, there's a contradiction here. There's a clear contradiction. Well, we need to understand that verses like this are speaking of the promise. Because even as David was mindful, even as Isaiah was mindful of the Redeemer, as all these prophets knew the Redeemer and prophesied about the Messiah, even Amos in our class, in the last parts of that book, prophesied about the Messiah, the one who would come, redeem all the people, the people of God throughout all time. All these prophets understood that. They were all waiting for the Messiah. The Jews were praying for the Messiah. We need to understand how this all correlates here, how it all connects together. Jesus was the one, really, that all time kind of wraps around. Jesus is even the Creator Himself, John chapter 1 and Colossians 1, 15 through 18. Let's turn over to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, it's right nearby. Isaiah 55 and verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. So another verse, another set of verses that we have here that talks about God pardoning. Well, how can God pardon if the blood of bulls and goats could not take away sins? Once again, people say there's a contradiction, but there's not, because it's speaking of the promise of what? The promise of Christ. All of these verses we see back in the Old Testament, the law was a foreshadow of things to come. The Old Testament was a tutor and an upbringing to bring us to Christ, to bring all mankind to Christ. All those prophets, they always mention things about the Redeemer, about the Messiah, in order to bring everybody to Christ. The book of Hebrews is summing that up here. Is really putting it in a clear perspective for you to see so clearly without any private interpretation really being possible. So understand back in these books, whenever it says for he will abundantly pardon, for he has forgiven them of their sins. It is in mindfulness of the promise of Jesus, of the promise of the Messiah, of the promise of the seed. If it wasn't, then Jesus didn't need to come at all. Because apparently the blood of bulls and goats can take away sins. But no, actually it can't. Jesus was necessary, as Hebrews chapter 10 is saying. That's the point of this lesson that I'm trying to urge you this morning. Understand the importance of Jesus. How he was really important for all men of all time. All men and women of all time. Now, we have another example. If that's not good enough, we have another example. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 15 through 18. Hebrews 10, 15 through 18. What's the next witness? The Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us. For after he has said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. Verse 17. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. Did you understand really what that was just saying there? This is talking in a future tense of things to come. The Holy Spirit. You know where these verses actually come from? What prophet? Does anybody know? What prophet does this come from? It comes from Jeremiah. Jeremiah the prophet. Jeremiah 31. 31 through 34. Let's head back and read it. I want you to see it for yourself. So keep your marker there and head back to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 31. 31 through 34. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant. That sounds familiar. With the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Verse 32. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, though I was a husband of them, says the Lord. Verse 33. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds, and I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Once again, all of it speaking in future tense. Jeremiah also understood. It even says here, whose words were they really in Hebrews 10? As Jeremiah spoke forth the words, as he was the mouthpiece, who was actually the one doing the talking? Who was the one giving Jeremiah those words? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, of course, is God. So the Holy Spirit, Jeremiah, Isaiah, all these prophets that we've been talking about, King David, they understood that Jesus was necessary in order to take away sins for all time. He was the perfect sacrifice. Let's talk about this just a little bit more, and we'll be finished. Hebrews chapter 10 once again. Hebrews 10. We're going to read verse 12. But this man, Hebrews 10 verse 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. So let's stop right there. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever. Let's talk about that for a moment. This man being who? Being Jesus. Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Savior, some call Emmanuel, as our gospel accounts say back in Matthew. The offering of the one sacrifice was literally forever, for all time. Forever, of course, being past, present, and future. That's one of those perfect tense type of verbs there. Perfect tense, meaning past, present, future, all the time. Really, for all time that creation has ever been in existence, the creation of man, Jesus would cover all the dispensations of time, his sacrifice. So that's a beautiful, beautiful fact that Hebrews 10 is presenting to us here as Christians that we need to understand. That gives us security, that as Abraham is in paradise right now, Jesus also serves to be a sacrifice. His perfect sacrifice serves to be for Abraham. That's why it was so important to the Jews. Do you understand that now? It was important to the Jews and to the Israelites in the Old Testament and in the patriarchal law, because they needed Jesus, because they needed their Redeemer, just as we do, Christians and friends, just as we do. Everybody needs Jesus. John 3:16, we might say that sometimes is talking about only the time, you know, only the New Testament age. That's not only talking about the New Testament age. Let's look at it in a broader way. That's talking about all man through all time. Every single man and woman that's ever existed and that will ever exist needed Jesus. This man, Jesus, offered one sacrifice for sins forever, past, present, future. I would suggest you write down perfect tense. And perfect tense, once again, if you ever hear that, it means past, present, and future. That's what you have here, of course, in the New Testament being said in the Greek, with a perfect tense. So Jesus, He's also our perfect high priest, our perfect high priest. So let's go back to Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7, verses 26 through 28. Hebrews 7, 26 through 28. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once for all when he offered up himself. For the law appoints as high priests men who have weakness, but the word of the oath, which came after the law, appoints the Son, who has been perfected forever. Jesus, once again, He was a perfect sacrifice. He was holy. He was blameless. He was harmless. He was undefiled. He was separated from sinners because He was perfect. He committed zero sins. Not one sin when He lived on the earth did Jesus commit. That's why Jesus could serve as the perfect sacrifice. When mankind can't do that, we couldn't defeat Satan. We couldn't ultimately stop Satan at every single moment. We couldn't stop every single one of Satan's temptations. Sometimes we give in. Even as Christians, sometimes we give in. Do you think by being baptized that you'll never sin again? You will sin again. You will. That's a fact. I have, after becoming baptized. I have, and every other Christian here has. We've all messed up. We've all messed up, and we will mess up in life. That's a fact, and we all know that here. That's a fact. Don't think you're perfect, because no man was perfect except Jesus the Christ. No man was perfect. We're going to mess up. We're going to have hard times. And when we do, we're going to mess up. We're going to mess up and we're going to sin. But Jesus, of course, is there to serve as our continual sacrifice whenever we repent of those things. So understand, we always need Christ, even after becoming a Christian. We always need Jesus. It doesn't stop after the plan of salvation. You have to remain faithful. And with that comes the sacrifice of Jesus, being a continual offering there for us before the Father so we can have that forgiveness of sins. Hebrews chapter 2. Let's talk about this just a little more. Hebrews 2, 14 through 18. Hebrews 2, 14 through 18. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil. Verse 15. And release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed, he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. There it is. Verse 17. Therefore, in all things, he had to be like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. So even there's some comforting verses like verse 18 telling us how Jesus even helps, even the church today, helps the church today through temptation. The Father, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, all working together to try to help us to be saved in the end, to try to help us to get to heaven. All of them working for us, Christians. How beautiful is that? Helping to, of course, bring those who are lost even, to try to bring them into the fold. They're always working for the good of mankind, always working because they love mankind, because God loves mankind. Did not God love the world that He sent Jesus in the first place? So, what can truly take away sins? Once again, everybody here recognizing, all these witnesses recognizing Jesus. Old Testament, patriarchal law, New Testament, all recognize Jesus was the Redeemer. He is the only one who, of course, would be able to offer one sacrifice for sins forever. Now, sat down at the right hand of God, back in Hebrews 10. Sat down at the right hand of God. That one more simple to understand, but But this man, verse 12, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. There's many other verses for this, but we'll look at Hebrews 7:25. Hebrews 7:25, real quick. Therefore, he is also able to save the uttermost. Hebrews 7:25. Those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Once again, that's Jesus. He always lives to make intercession for them. He continually appears for our sake, brethren and friends. Jesus continually appears before the Father in the most holy place, appears for us, Christians, so that we can have that forgiveness of sins. Whenever we mess up, Jesus is there. Whenever we repent, Jesus is there to, of course, get us that forgiveness of sins, to make intercession for us as our high priest, as our perfect sacrifice, as he made for us. Hebrews 9, let's turn there. Hebrews 9:23-28. Therefore, it was necessary that the copies of the things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ had not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Verse 25. Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with the blood of another. Once again, we read that earlier, verse 26. He then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed, verse 27, for men to die once, but after this the judgment. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly await for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. Even talking of the second coming there in that last verse. But he sat down at the right hand of God, Jesus continually serving as that perfect sacrifice for Christians today. So we need to understand that Jesus, even as he is our high priest who can sympathize with our weaknesses, as this same book says, as he is our helper in times of need, as all the Godhead is our helper in times of need, as they're working together for us and for your benefit, for your salvation, Jesus, of course, is and always will be, always was necessary for sins to be taken away. That's the point of this lesson this morning, to help you understand that without Jesus, none of this could have been possible. You understand that even as Jesus was the Creator, as he was planned before the foundation of the world, he was necessary. He always will be necessary. He's of the utmost importance today as well. Now let's read Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4. We're almost finished here. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. Seeing then that we have a high priest, a great high priest, who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Verse 16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So once again, more comforting verses talking about our Savior Jesus Christ, talking about how he is our high priest, how he's continuously helping us all the time, even in times of need. Last few verses, verses 13 and 14, we'll do these ones together and real quick. Hebrews 10:13-14. Hebrews 10:13-14, our main text. From that time, waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. So back in verse 13, from that time, meaning from the time Jesus ascended to sit at the right hand of God, of course, from that time, Mark 16:19 is where that's recorded and many other places as well. From that time, when he ascended and now he's sitting at the right hand of God, he's making intercession for the saints. So right now, as I'm speaking, as you're sitting in those pews, Jesus is making intercession for the saints. Before the Father, he's in the most holy place. Jesus is our high priest. That's a comforting thought that Hebrews is presenting to us here. That this book is presenting. That's a comforting, beautiful thought that Jesus, his work didn't even stop. When he created the heavens and the earth, whenever he did all those things, as John 1 says, And as Genesis accounts, that's Jesus who did all that creation there. As the Father gave the will, as the Holy Spirit was the means. We talked about those things in our Godhead discussions. But Jesus, His work didn't stop there. He came to this earth. He served as the perfect sacrifice. And then what did He do? He ascended. He ascended and then He did what? He's our high priest. He's continuously sitting there, making intercession for the saints, mediating for us. Mediating before us, of course, in heaven itself. In the greatest place that anyone could be in heaven, Jesus is sitting there mediating for us as mankind, as His creation, as His children. He's mediating for us, as His brethren, even as He says, mediating for us. So what beautiful thoughts that we can talk about from the book of Hebrews today. Now, of course, until the enemy is defeated at the end of time, 1 Corinthians 15:24-28 is a good set of verses for that. 1 Corinthians 15:24-28. We're going to read it real quick. Then comes the end, when He delivers the kingdom of God to the Father. When He puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. Verse 25, for He must reign till He has put all enemies under His feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death, for He has put all things under His feet. But when He says all things are put under Him, it is evident that He who put all things under Him is accepted. Verse 28, now when all things are made subject to Him, then the Son Himself will also be subject to Him who put all things under Him, that God may be all in all. Talking about, of course, Jesus being the owner of the kingdom, of course, giving those things back to even the Father, as the New Testament teaches, in the end. Now, of course, we have security in Jesus, though, as He is still serving as our high priest today until the end comes. Last verse, real quick. Hebrews 10:14. For by one offering He has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. This one's real easy to understand. 1 Peter 2:9, what are we? Everybody should know that verse. Every Christian in here should know that verse, 1 Peter 2:9. We're the holy priesthood. We're the chosen generation today. Man and woman. Christian. We're all the holy priesthood today. We're all Christians. We're all His priesthood. Not just the select line of Aaron, not just the sons of Levi, but Christians. Every single one of us are the priesthood of God today. 1 Peter 2:9. Go read that verse after this. I encourage you to if you haven't heard that yet. 1 Peter 2:9. We are set apart from the world by His offering to do His work. Ephesians 2:10. And then lastly, I'll give you one last verse. Of course, if we obey Christ and are baptized, we become His new creature. So whenever you, of course, leave that former life of sin and death, you become a new creature. You're risen anew. You're a completely new being, of course. Your soul is completely purified. You're white as snow. Now, some people say you can only be like that after you come out of baptism, after you come out of that watery grave. That's the only time you're white as snow. Should that be the only time you're white as snow? No. Whenever you get forgiveness of sins, whenever you ask for forgiveness of sins, once again, from God, even as a Christian, you are white as snow even then. How? Because Jesus sits as a high priest making intercession for you, making sure you have that forgiveness of sins all the time. You are white as snow then, after repentance, as a Christian, just as you are after coming out of this watery grave of baptism. So I hope these were all beautiful, beautiful concepts and lessons that we could learn from Hebrews chapter 10. I hope you've enjoyed it. I love the book of Hebrews, just as I love Revelation. Hebrews is probably my second favorite book, to Revelation being the first. Hebrews is one of those books that you can just read and read and read. I just absolutely love the book. So I hope that this was beneficial to you. I hope that you love going through this with me this morning. And if there's any needs that we have at all, please do make those known this morning. Physical, mental, or spiritual, Christians and friends, if you have anything, please do let us help you with those things this morning. If you're not a Christian, there's only one way to be saved. We've talked about Jesus all this morning, how He's our high priest. But He can't be your high priest unless you're a Christian. You can't be, of course, helped by really the Godhead as a child of God, as a Christian, if you're not a Christian. So do something about that this morning. Fix that this morning. If you believe Jesus is the Son of the living God, if you're willing to make that confession with your mouth, if you're willing to repent of your former sins, of the former life that you lived, of those sins, if you're willing to do that this morning, if you're willing, of course, to be baptized into this watery grave and rise a new creature, as 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if you're willing to do that, why do you wait? Do that now, and then remain faithful unto death, and you will receive heaven, glorious, heaven most high, and you will be with God forever after this life is over. Why don't you do that today? Why don't you do that today? If you have any need at all, please come to the front as we stand and praise God together.